are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock, your host, with you again on another Mailbag Monday as we take you through the offseason. We're under 30 days now to the start of training camp. That's veterans and rookies reporting on July 26th. And we are in July now officially. So getting close to training camp, we're going to keep the content coming for you throughout the offseason and really get things rocking and get excited about 49ers football when the pads start cracking in July, and that'll take us to week one in September, the 8th of September in Tampa Bay, when the 49ers kick off the season in Tampa against the Buccaneers. And we will also expand to 5 shows per week here on Locked On 49ers. You can subscribe to this show, get every single episode to your device of choice on the new Himalaya podcast app. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Google Podcasts. You can find this show on Spotify. You can find us and all of the shows on the Locked On Podcast Network just about anywhere. You can find the show at LockedOn49ers.com. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Twitter and email is definitely the best place to get a hold of me and to get involved in these mailbag segments. I put out the Peacock Signal on Twitter asking for some questions for this week's mailbags, and I also posed the question to those of my followers on Twitter at BD Peacock: who is your most underrated player, either on the 49ers or in the NFL or both? And I got some good responses there that I'll get into today. I'd like to kick this off with my guy Ty on Twitter. He said, can we mention how my man Goodwin came off vacation to outrun the field? And we definitely got to start there because Marquise Goodwin has had quite an off season already. He was hanging out with tigers, jumping off of elephants, catching footballs on vacation, comes straight back to the States and then blows away the competition at the 40 yards of gold. Marquise Goodwin came out champion. He beat Dante Jackson in the final by 0.05 seconds, which is an eternity in the 40-yard dash, and he knew it. He raised up his finger number one as he crossed the finish line because he knew he was the champ, and he's supposed to win $1 million. I don't know if the 40 yards of gold had $1 million on hand to give to anybody. I don't know if people were ponying up that 40 bucks to watch that on pay-per-view, or if it didn't look like there was enough people live at that venue, a hockey arena in Florida, to bring in that kind of cash. So we'll see, and we'll see if 40 yards of gold continues to grow, because I think it'd be really cool and really awesome to see it on TV. I don't know about this pay-per-view stuff, but I think it would have done pretty well for football fans in the offseason to see these guys go at it and run 40-yard dashes. And so I don't know if it'll continue if they went bankrupt trying to give the winner $1 million, but Marquise Goodwin took home the gold, and the dude can fly, and he can still fly because those guys are flat fast, some 4.2s out there in the field. And man, he didn't look like he had much problem, at least in the clip I saw of him defeating Dante Jackson of the Panthers, who is very fast in his own right. And by the way, Ted Ginn, come on, Teddy Ginn, former 49er, not even showing up. He was billed to be the guy in this thing. He was telling people on Twitter that he would bet them $10,000 that he could beat them in a 40-yard dash. They do a 40 yards of gold. They're like, here it is, perfect time to show up and blow away everybody in the NFL, prove how fast you still are, and dude, no shows. And Marquise Goodwin, at 28 years old, outrunning some younger guys, and he's still got juice in those legs, man. I'm all about Marquise Goodwin representing the U.S. in the 2020 Olympics. I hope he follows his dream, and I hope he gets there, even if it costs him potentially his NFL career or even just his spot on the 49ers roster. But let's get into more, and there's more questions about Marquise Goodwin, and he's definitely somebody who people had responded that he is the most underrated player on the 49ers. It was Butterman here on Twitter that says, I'll say Goodwin. He was a legit number one receiver when there was no help in 2017. And you're right, there was not a lot of help there, but there's not a lot of competition for targets either. Then after last year with the injuries and QB situation, it was easy to write him off. Interesting to see if he fights off these young bloods. And that is going to be, man, I keep saying it, that wide receiver position's, I think, the most interesting position group in training camp for the 49ers because it's deep, but there's no obvious, I don't think there's any obvious, maybe Dante Pettis is obvious starter on one side, but he still has competition in Goodwin for that X wide receiver spot. And heck, maybe Dante ends up playing Z and Goodwin X because maybe they both show out. So there's a lot of ways that the wide receiver group can go and multiple tough cuts could happen. So that's going to be a fun position for sure. Salvatore says the Packers' Kenny Clark is his, which is that is a good one because he's very underrated. He's not on most people's radar, even though he's been a pretty good, you know, defensive lineman for a while now for the Packers. And I think part of, and Defoe is actually a common answer for the for people in with 49ers and just as far as the NFL at large goes, being an underrated player. I've got a lot of Defoe answers here. And DeForest Buckner, Kenny Clark, I think a lot of players around the league, first of all, defensive tackle isn't a position that is shiny and fancy and sexy and gets a lot of pub. There's also so many good defensive tackles. And when players like, you know, interior defensive linemen, even guys that are, you know, 3-4 defensive ends like J.J. Watt, and then there's Aaron Donald, and those guys get so much attention and so much notoriety that the guys that are in that next little group right below them haven't gotten a lot of attention. And sometimes it takes multiple years, and the year after you deserve it is when you finally start to see some credit. So if DeForest Buckner puts together another dominating season like he had last year, I think the national media is going to really start to look at him, and he's going to get a lot more due that he deserves. Seen a couple Fred Warners here. Dominic says Fred Warner, and that is definitely Bay Area Winks guy. Nick Winkler on last Wednesday's show said Fred Warner, and it really reminded me, yeah, nobody's talking about Fred Warner on the 49ers, someone who was a day two pick and who came in and started as a rookie at middle linebacker and looked so good, and nobody's getting super excited or talking him up, it seems like. So Fred Warner is riding below the radar, which is sort of surprising, especially in his own fan base. 49ers fans, you would think, would be just crazy hyped over Fred Warner going into year two. Jeremy wants to know, and this is a question to be answered another day, and I kind of like where he's going with this. He says, could you do a podcast or possibly multiple podcasts of how the 49ers match up position by position with the rest of the NFC West, like rank them 1-4? I'd like to say it's debatable that we now have the best D-line. Thanks for all you do. Yeah, Jeremy, that's a good idea. I think that would be a fun thing to do, and we'll see how much time there is and what the episodes look like as we get toward training camp, and that could even go into training camp as well. So I'm going to mark that one and possibly see if I can put together something like that because that would be a fun exercise, I think. Ferocious Gentleman, most underrated on the roster isn't a player, it's a coach. Joe Woods is going to get that secondary on the same page. I like it. He could have just about as massive an impact as any of the coaches, because that's a big change, that defensive backs coach. And there were so many communication errors, and that's a group that's important to this team, and they didn't add a lot of players there. So Joe Woods is going to be massively important to this 49ers team in 2019. All right, this is a good spot. Let's take a quick break, jump back into that mailbag, have a ton of questions. And I'll see if I can go kind of rapid fire and get to all of these. But if not, I apologize, and we might get to some of them on Wednesday with Nick. Let's go to Troy, and actually this is something that a lot of people have brought up to me since Jalen Thompson, who is a free safety from the University of Washington State, he has become ineligible and has now thrown his name into the supplemental draft. And by the way, the supplemental draft looks like it's going to happen July 10th, and there's a few players that could be involved. Jalen Thompson might be the only guy draftable there. I don't know if he'll go very high, but I haven't had a chance to watch a lot of him. So I'm going to defer that question. I want to see if I can find some tape and watch a couple of Washington State games to see if Jalen Thompson is somebody worth the 49ers throwing out a draft pick at. And I don't think there's anybody in this supplemental draft that's going to go as high as, like, say, the second round, like Josh Gordon did. Last year, I think there was two players drafted. There might be a couple draftable players. So I'm going to look at some of those guys, and I guess I'll have to do a little supplemental draft preview episode. Troy also says most underrated 49er is Jordan Matthews and Solomon Thomas. Okay, interesting. Most underrated in the NFL, non-49er, is Chase Edmonds. Okay, wow. Oh, that's a good one. Chase Edmonds. Jordan Matthews, I think, is flying a little bit under the radar, especially with all the reports about how good he looked in OTAs and minicamp. Having that veteran wide receiver, having someone with his size at the wide receiver position for the 49ers. I think most people who are penciling in the 49ers wide receivers after camp and as we get into the regular season after cuts, I think Jordan Matthews isn't in there for a lot of people who are keeping, let's say, six wide receivers. And I think that's, you know, it's a pretty good number. It's usually about what they keep. Jordan Matthews, I'm leaning toward someone that I think is going to be on the roster rather than off just right now. But we're going to get a chance to really see him in the 49ers uniform, in the system, in camp, and in those preseason games. And that's going to be huge for Jordan Matthews. And Solomon Thomas, I don't think he's underrated yet because he hasn't performed. I think, if anything, he would be pre-breakout. And if you think he's going to have a breakout this year, and then at that point we can start talking about how underrated of a player he is, because people might be thinking he's that guy that people are already starting to call a bust after a couple of seasons, and maybe he blows up and has the type of year that the 49ers thought he could have when they took him number three overall. Solomon Thomas is another interesting storyline to watch and see what kind of playing time he can carve out of this really deep, really good defensive line for the 49ers. Let's see. Gregory, Joe Staley is always criminally underrated in the national conversation as one of the best left tackles in football. I don't know. I think he gets a lot of credit. I think offensive linemen just don't get talked about that much, but he's been to multiple Pro Bowls. I think people around the league know how good Joe Staley is, and they talk about him a little bit, but, you know, he's not a quarterback. And when you're the 49ers and you're bad for a few years and your best player is your left tackle, then I just think he's not going to get a lot of national attention. But all attention Joe Staley does get is warranted, so he could probably get some more, and I think that would be fine. So I think maybe mildly underrated, but most people know how good Joe Staley is, I think, and I think he gets a lot of credit on the national stage, but maybe I'm missing something there. Adam said, if Warner improves in his second year, he will be playing near or at a Pro Bowl level. Nobody talks about that man with his smarts and work ethic. He could be a star in the league soon. Yeah, that's another important aspect that you bring up with Fred Warner, Adam. He's an athletic guy, and he fits the scheme really well and everything, but it's what's going on upstairs. That work ethic, his determination to be good, his smarts, and that's what's going to carry him as a middle linebacker in the NFL, is those instincts, the smarts, how hard he works, and that's how you get the most out of the athleticism that he already has on top of that. So that's what's exciting about Fred Warner. Mike says, I'm sure many will say Defoe is underrated by non-49ers fans. And yeah, you're right, Mike. A bunch of people said Defoe. I thought he was going to go on to say, but I think he's overrated. And I was going to be like, okay, wait a second. No, but he did not say that. Let's see. Skip says, underrated for the 49ers is Ronald Blair. Underrated in the NFL, Defoe. I know he's still SF, but people here know how good he is, but amongst the NFL is still forgotten somehow. And he also has the question, if you could trade for any player in the NFL, who would it be, and what would you give up? Let's see. I would say, on the realistic side of things, I mean, it's not even realistic, but I would say Jalen Ramsey. I think he's the perfect fit for what the 49ers could potentially need. He fits the system. He fits any system at cornerback, including the system the 49ers have. He's such a stud corner. I think he's going to be really good for a really long time. And then even when he's, you know, sort of like the Sherman mold, where even when he's old, maybe loses a step, he's more athletic than Sherman. I think he can play safety for a long time, sort of like a Rod Woodson did or a Charles Woodson did. So I would have no problem ponying up for somebody like Jalen Ramsey, because I just think that he's so good and he's going to be so good for such a long time. And he also fits a big potential need for the 49ers very soon, if not right now, at cornerback. So I would put him out there. And just because he's got a contract situation coming, you wouldn't have to pay what you would have to pay, would have had to pay maybe a couple years ago for somebody like Jalen Ramsey, just because, you know, maybe it's a situation where he knows or he tells and informs the Jaguars, hey, I'm not going to re-sign with you guys. And he's, you know, he makes that difficult and makes it a little bit easier for another team to trade for him, so it wouldn't take an insane bounty. It'd still take first-round pick, I'm sure. But Jalen Ramsey is an interesting one. I'll put him out there without thinking about that question too hard. To Marion on Twitter, if James is cut, who becomes our kick return specialist? Punt return average was horrible last year. Richie James, that's his path to making the roster, is proving he has value at multiple wide receiver spots as a backup and then prove he's the best kick return guy. And if he gets cut, though, I mean, we might see something like both starting wide receivers being the kick and punt returner. I think they're going to give Dante Pettis a shot at punt returner again. And then maybe Deebo Samuel could be the kick returner. Raheem Mostert showed that he could do a little something as a kick returner, I think, even though his special teams value is more as a gunner. And by the way, it's another way Richie James could do it. If he proves he's a good kick returner and needs to be the guy there, and maybe proves he's good on coverage units as well. And that's definitely his path to making the roster. Maybe the 49ers could keep seven wide receivers in that case if there's really six other guys they don't want to get rid of. But I'm drawing a blank. DJ Reed had that big return last year, but then he fumbled multiple times. So I don't know if they want to give DJ Reed another shot at being the return man. Maybe utilize that running back depth, Breida, maybe even McKinnon. Trent Taylor did some punt returning in his early part of his career and in college, but he didn't blow anybody away doing that. And I don't think he did any kick returning for the 49ers, just punts. So that's a good question, Marion, and maybe that's why Richie James is closer to a lock than anybody wants to give him credit for. And I dare you to say a bad word about my son if anybody's listening and wants to say that Richie James should be cut. Shame on you. Let's see who's up. Let's go to Sanchez on Twitter. He says, I think McGlinchey is underrated. Everyone forgot he was a rookie and is a stud. Do we need to worry about the secondary? I kind of am. McGlinchey, I think, deserves a lot of credit for how good he was. He was basically exactly what, and this is a rarity, I think, for the NFL draft, is Mike McGlinchey was drafted in the top 10. I think a lot of people had him as a first-round guy, but maybe not a top 10 guy leading up to the draft. I thought I had him ranked as around 20th overall in the class. I didn't think the 49ers were going to have him that high. Didn't know going into the draft night that the 49ers had a need at right tackle. Apparently they had that trade worked out with Trent Brown. But what Mike McGlinchey was supposed to be, first round offensive tackle, one of the best run blocking offensive tackles in college football, a pretty good pass protector, but he did have some work to do there to get to that level, which is why, okay, left tackle, pass protection isn't your strength as much as run blocking is. That's probably why people didn't think maybe this guy's not a top 10 player. But then, you know, when you see him and you hear him speak and you see how he's a rookie but acts like, speaks like, plays like a veteran, then you start to see, okay, and you start to see why. And we talked about this with Fred Warner, very similar. And maybe that was a reaction to what the 49ers had the year before in the draft with someone like Reuben Foster, where they're like, nope, we want guys who already act like veterans on the college level, and we don't have to worry about anything off the field. And guys like Fred Warner and Mike McGlinchey are both absolutely that, where they're like all about ball, work ethic high, character high, smarts are high. And so the sky's the limit with Mike McGlinchey. And he was exactly who he was supposed to be. First round offensive tackle, walks in, starts, plays to his strength, shows that he can develop and get better. And so hopefully he does continue to get better as a pass blocker, proves he can be that quote-unquote blind side protector, even though I think the left tackle, right tackle thing is a little bit antiquated now in the NFL. You got to be able to pass protect on both sides, and you got to be able to run block everywhere. But Mike McGlinchey is absolutely, I think, underrated on the national level. I think not a lot of people are going to be talking about him. Again, not that sexy offensive line position. The 49ers' best players seem to be at somewhat unsexy positions, which I think adds to why they might be underrated nationally. But I'm excited to see the growth of Mike McGlinchey in year two and watch him blossom as, I mean, he's already solid player into potentially a Pro Bowl type of player in the NFL. This podcast is brought to you in part by our friends at Blue Chew and Hotels.com. James on Twitter says the most underrated player in the 49ers is Kaywan Williams. And in the NFL's Christian McCaffrey. Okay, a couple of interesting names I didn't expect to see here. Kaywan Williams as a really solid slot guy. I kind of like that choice because when the choice surprises you, that's how you know the guy's underrated, because nobody's talking about him, right? So Kawan Williams, he was a free agent that the 49ers brought in, and I think he's played pretty well too. So I definitely am with you on him being underrated, because I think some people are trying to just sweep him off the roster eventually, and there's a good chance he's that starting nickel cornerback again for the 49ers. He graded out good, not amazing, at PFF last year. I just wanted to double check here. The PFF grades Kawan Williams, yeah, 66.7, which is, you know, solid grade, but is actually ranked top five on the 49ers defense for overall grades last year, which tells you the 49ers defense has a chance to really come up in the world and improve on last season. DeForest Buckner, no surprise, was the highest graded defender on the 49ers last year, 81.4. Then Eric Armstead was next. And actually, Dakota Watson shouldn't even count. So Kawan Williams for the regulars was actually the fourth highest rated, third highest rated being Richard Sherman. But they were so tight there after, you know, DeForest Buckner was way ahead. Between number three, Richard Sherman had a 68.9 overall grade. Kawan Williams had a 66.7 overall grade. Between Sherman, who was third, and let's see, going all the way down to Fred Warner at 11 with 63.9. 5 overall points separates Fred Warner, who was 11, and Richard Sherman. All in the good, not great range for Pro Football Focus grades, but Kawan Williams, second highest graded coverage grade too, to Sherman last year. So that tells you how he played. So you know what? I'm with you on that. That was a great call, James. Kawan Williams not getting any love at all for essentially being the second best cover guy on the 49ers last year. And the consistency, which is key. Those were the two most consistent cover guys for the 49ers in Kawan Williams and Richard Sherman. And Christian McCaffrey is another one who I think, which is surprising. So you got a running back who is a PPR monster in fantasy football, and he's still not getting talked about all that much. That is actually quite a surprise that Christian McCaffrey somehow remains underrated on the NFL scope. Let's keep this going with IOI Sports on Twitter. Would you give up the next 5 drafts for Jimmy G to be a top 5 quarterback for the next 10 years? Wow, the whole entire draft for 5 drafts to have a top 5 quarterback for the next year? No, I would say no to that, because I think Jimmy G can get close to top 5 and maybe get into the top 5 on his own without giving up all that. If you asked me, would you give up the next 5 first-round picks to guarantee yourself, if you were a team, okay, let's rephrase your question to where I would answer yes to it. If you said to me, and I was the GM of a team that did not have a quarterback that I believed in, it was in the market for a quarterback, and you said, you give me your next 5 first round draft picks, and I will give you a quarterback that will be in the top 5 of quarterbacks for the next 10 years, I would say, yes, I would do that. All 5 drafts is just hard, because you still got to field a team around that quarterback. So, I mean, that's 30-plus players right there. Ryan on Twitter says, I think for San Francisco, Pettis is seriously underrated. That guy is going to ball out and be something insane that we haven't seen in a while, barring injury, of course. I will say to the Pettis thing, and I've seen a few Pettises in here as well, and even if you're right about Pettis and he takes that crazy sophomore leap, as we saw George Kittle did last year, then at that point you're like, oh yeah, this dude's underrated. But right now, I don't think he's done enough to be rated to the point where you think, you know, it's still potential, right? And who was the famous coach? I think it was a basketball coach, actually, had the famous quote about telling a prospect or telling a young kid one time or telling a rookie, your potential is going to get me fired. So right now, Pettis is still potential. I don't think with what he did last year, he showed that he could be that thing, but he hasn't been that thing yet. And I'm with you, Ryan. Pettis is someone to watch and someone that could absolutely take that second year leap, but we just have to wait and enjoy it. And then once he does, then you can shout from the mountaintops about how good he is and how underrated he might be if people aren't giving him his due. But right now, he's pre-breakout more so than underrated, in my opinion. Let's go to Chris. I'd say our secondary, specifically Witherspoon, is underrated. Didn't have a great 2018, but the talent is there. With upgraded pass rush, they'll definitely bounce back this year. fantasy football question. Where would you rank Jimmy G on your quarterback list? I'm biased, but I think he'll put up top five numbers. I haven't gotten deep into the fantasy football stuff yet and research stuff, although the Scott Fishbowl draft is about to start pretty soon here. It was like an industry league that I'm involved with, and which is really fun. It's like 700 teams involved or something like that. But I got to start getting in on that and start doing some research. Jimmy G, let's see, top five. So who would I definitely take over Garoppolo? And not keeper style, not dynasty style, just right now, fantasy football quarterbacks. I'd still take Breeze over him. Andrew Luck, I would take over him for sure. Aaron Rodgers, yes. Patrick Mahomes, absolutely. That dude was insane last year. If he doesn't even have to match. People are talking about, you know, how much better can he get? He doesn't even have to be all of what he was in 2018 to be still the best fantasy football quarterback. There's some up-and-coming guys. I mean, Russell Wilson's in the conversation. I might take Garoppolo over Matt Ryan. I think just talent-wise, I think they're very similar, and I'll take the 49ers coaching staff and the coach that got Matt Ryan to his heights for Jimmy Garoppolo over a full season of health. Ben Roethlisberger always seems to be there at the end of the year. I think that's close. Deshaun Watson, I would probably take over Jimmy Garoppolo. Tom Brady, if you're going to take him over Garoppolo, I'm definitely not going to argue with that. Even though his numbers have declined a little bit, we'll see what he's like post-Gronk now. And there's the younger crew of guys. Carson Wentz, if healthy, could be right there. Baker Mayfield. And I don't know, is there somebody else I'm forgetting? I think there's probably somebody obvious I'm forgetting. So top five is tough. I would not expect Jimmy Garoppolo to be top five, but I think he could be top five. I won't say that he can't get there, and I'm really excited to see what he does under Shanahan for a full season. And Garoppolo is definitely that type of quarterback that you should be able to steal later in drafts. So what tends to happen is a lot of 49ers fans are friends with other 49ers fans, so it's hard to steal that player in your home fantasy leagues if you got a bunch of other 49ers fans. Like, you know, it's hard to you're definitely not stealing George Kittle. You might have gotten a decent discount on him last year, but he probably still went, if your league is a bunch of 49ers fans, Kittle probably went a lot higher in that league than he did on average. And so someone like Jimmy Garoppolo, it's going to be the same story. It's harder to steal those 49ers sleepers. But if there's not a bunch of 49ers fans in your league, then Garoppolo's definitely a quarterback I would be targeting. And even if it's, you know, if you wait on a while to get your number one quarterback and then double dip on guys, or you can snag him as your quarterback too, depending on how deep your league is. Yeah, absolutely. I think Jimmy Garoppolo could be that guy. But right now, I would be surprised if he's ranked in the top 10 on most fantasy football draft boards and rankings lists, which is why it makes him someone who could absolutely outplay his ranking. I would say for me, the question will be not so much yardage, because I think Kyle Shanahan's offense, and I think especially we're going to see it this year, can put up numbers, put up yards between the 20s. The question I would have is red zone. Is he going to have the touchdowns? Is it going to be a prolific offense where they're scoring like crazy? And if the scoring does happen, is it going to be all on the arm of Jimmy Garoppolo? Is going to be a lot of ground game involved there? All right, we're going to finish it up here with Dominic. And this one's for Nick, because I know he was super excited probably to hear about all of the Fred Warner mentions on this show, because he was touting Fred Warner big time last Wednesday, talking about how he was underrated, which gave me the idea to throw out this question to you guys about underrated players in the NFL and specifically 49ers. Dominic says Laken Tomlinson has been quietly really solid at left guard in his opinion. And I know Nick gets really annoyed with Laken Tomlinson, not because of his ability between snaps, but it's those penalties, especially pre-snap penalties and some holding penalties. And Nick gets so frustrated with Laken Tomlinson's penalties. And I think his penalties have held back how good of a player he's been, and especially as a run blocker. And that 49ers offensive line really has a chance to be one of the best run blocking offensive lines in the league. Love that they have some continuity coming back this year. They've got to keep Garoppolo clean, though, to be that next level offensive line and really be one of the better units in the NFL. And they've got to be able to prove that either they can be Ironmen out there and stay healthy, or that they've got some depth that can help them out if they do have some injuries on the O-line. That's my only worry there. But I love Laken Tomlinson getting the shout-out. And so Nick probably just drove off the road listening to that one. All right, thanks, everybody, for listening. Sorry if I did not get to your tweet or email. We'll definitely be getting some emails. I've got them queued up for Wednesday's podcast, and we'll get to some more tweets as well. And thank you, everybody, who has been getting involved with these mailbags all season long. And I'll talk to you guys tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.